the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number three of Sports Talk. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we turn our attention for this hour to hoops. We've got Vols, we've got Lady Vols, the SEC, NCAA, and here to help us break it down, and he's more than happy to talk about the NBA, the WNBA, which just hammered out a very interesting collective bargaining agreement, but Coach Al Brown, he's been a head coach, an assistant for both Tennessee basketball programs, the Vols, then the Lady Vols, and has been around the game for quite some time. Coach's appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, serving Knoxville, Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and coming soon to Hardin Valley. Coach, how are you?
Well, I am doing terrific, John. Thank you for having me on today with Vince and you. It's a pleasure and a privilege. We're looking forward to sharing basketball information, and this is an exciting time in both men's and women's college basketball because there's so much volatility, so much fluidity, if you will, because of the upsets, and it's really difficult to figure out in both the men's and women's game who are the best teams, and so it makes an exciting time as we conclude January and look forward to February, and then of course on into March. So it's one of those years, John, that I haven't seen in a long time where there's just no way to predict which teams are going to survive, and usually you have a team or two that is dominant, and you can point to them. But this year, for me, there isn't one.
Well, we'll touch on the volatility, but before we get to what has been both roller coaster rides on the men's side as well as the women's side, just a quick conversation that with basketball you don't see. Perhaps the same situation. In fact, it might not even be possible in the way that we have seen scandal swirl around football when it comes to sign stealing or videotaping an opponent as they put their sets in. And of course, with all that's going on in Major League Baseball with sign stealing and or helping batters out at the plate with the Astros and the Red Sox. Basketball, one, you've got video that will show you exactly what a team runs after a coach or a point guard holds up one finger or two fingers. And as we were talking before we went on, as quick as the game plays out, as fast as the action is, you don't really have the chance to say, ah, they're getting ready to run a two. And I mean, you can almost be counter. You can almost set your defenders to a counterintuitive thought process as they're thinking what the two is going to be, as opposed to just guarding the man in front of them or running the defense as it's been called.
Absolutely, John. That's well stated. It's when you have a game that moves as rapidly as basketball in the men's and women's college game, analyzing the opponent's signals and giving those signals to your team. Now, you scout and you go over plays and you give them, you give your team some information on how to handle given plays that opponent is running. But as far as having them, here's two, here's four, here's, they're grabbing their shirt, they're touching their face. By the time your team and analyzes all that, plus the plays you've got in to go against the opponent's defense, you can really confuse them a lot. And so it's not a, it doesn't have the same impact that it would in a sport like baseball where there's time in between, or in football where there's a change of possession from offense to defense. And so it really doesn't have as much effect as it would in the two sports you mentioned.
Yeah, now the film study, no doubt, can give you the upper hand if you quickly recognize that as they set up in the half court, here are tendencies, or the point guard is not strong with the ball when he has to go to his left, try and make a swingman go to his right. I mean, so many different things like that. Film study and breaking down an opponent with a fantastic scout can be a complete difference maker in terms of your prep.
Well, there's no question about it, John, and you can come up, and you want to keep it simple for your team. And you can come up with maybe one situation. I go back to a national championship game we played when I was working with Coach Summit, and we were playing Old Dominion in Cincinnati in 97, and one of the things a coach had told Coach Summit, they said, well, the post player from Old Dominion is not a scorer, so we didn't defend her. And I told Coach Summit, she was the trigger player for their offense. She was the one they passed to start the offense. If we deny her the ball, that makes it very difficult for them to run their offense. So sometimes you can come up with just one situation properly analyzed that takes a team out of what they like to do from the offensive end.
A lot of teams have been taken out of what they like to do this year. Why don't we go first to the men's side? We talked about the historic win for Clemson, getting its first victory in Chapel Hill, and then they go and follow that up at home with a victory over visiting Duke. It's just the second time, I believe, or it's the first time, I think, since 1990. Cliff Ellis was the coach at Clemson the last time they beat North Carolina and Duke in back-to-back games.
Well, it's been forever, and it was in a three-day span where they beat North Carolina at Carolina and then turn around at home, as you suggest, and beat Duke. Unbelievable. I mean, it's what we've had six different teams, John, ranked number one in the men's game. Now, the team that's there now, Gonzaga, is probably going to stay there because their conference is not as good as it has been. And so they'll probably be able to skate through and be number one for a longer period of time than the previous teams. But you've got Michigan State, who was the preseason number one, and then they go in the tank. All of a sudden, now they're leading the Big Ten at 5-1. You're going. You've had Stephen F. Austin win at Duke. You've had Evansville win at Kentucky, and I'm not going through all those other upsets that happened in the country. Butler was ranked number five, and all of a sudden they turn around and lose to Seton Hall. Now Seton Hall's leading the Big East. You've got Baylor, who has now defeated Kansas and Iowa State, and they're leading at 4-0. They're leading the Big 12. And then what about Wednesday night in the Southeastern Conference? Tennessee gets really hammered by Georgia in a game where Georgia hadn't won a conference game. Kentucky, the same night, going to South Carolina, gets beat on the last-second shot, 81-78. And I haven't even mentioned Alabama, 0-2 in the conference, beating Auburn. All this happened, and then, of course, Arkansas dispatching a shorthanded Vanderbilt team. So, I mean, it's wild, not only men's basketball, but women's basketball as well.
If you have a question or comment for Coach, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
So, Coach, is this wild SEC right now, is it just unpredictable or is it mediocre?
Oh, Vince, what a great question. I think it's very difficult to tell right now. Is the Big Ten, and I saw a projection today where they were projecting, well, could there be 12 teams from the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament? Well, I find that hard to believe that there is. But look at the scores in the Big Ten. Is it the same as you suggest with the SEC and the Big 12? All these conference races are up in the air and up for grabs, and are they all mediocre? I don't know. They may be, but it makes for compelling interest in basketball in the men's game for sure.
Well, let's go back to Tennessee and Georgia. What were the biggest breakdowns, in your opinion, in what happened in that performance? That we really hadn't seen one like it for Tennessee.
I think probably there are a lot of factors there, Vince, but the defensive end, Tennessee just couldn't seem to control the Georgia offense. And, of course, Edwards is a handful for everybody. You've got a bunch of new players for Tennessee. It's very difficult. Coach Barnes and his staff do a masterful job, but it's very difficult to bring in a new center, a new guard, and have them blend in with the existing players on the team. That's a problem. And Georgia really played probably their best game of the year overall. And so all of those things certainly stand out in that game.
Do you think Georgia, with Edwards and having a go-to guy and them being very young with that top five recruiting class from a year ago, do you think that they have staying power to be, you know, top three or four in the SEC in a NCAA tournament team?
Well, they could be right now, Vince, because of the changes in the conference. Edwards, anytime you have a star player, anytime you have a big-time player, you have a difference maker on the floor, and Edwards was that. Lewis was that for Alabama the other night against Auburn. Tennessee against Georgia, to speak to your point, they get out-rebounded 37-34. 12 free throws for Tennessee, 21 for Georgia. Tennessee shoots 23% from the three. In the last two games, Tennessee shot 6 for 31 from three. The bench had 19 points and 4 rebounds, which was better than Georgia for a change. But it's just a struggle for the Volunteers right now as they get ready for Vanderbilt.
Let's get a call from Mike, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Coach Brown, I got a few questions for you. Long time no talk.
All right, Mike.
Hope you're doing well. How you been?
Been great. And how about you?
I've been great. You back over here in town now, or are you still over there in the Carolinas?
Oh, no. We're here in Knoxville, have been here really forever, just kind of went from place to place, but still here in Knoxville.
Yeah, well, maybe see you around Willow Creek one of these days.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Coach, we got the big game coming up with Geno here. We don't talk about him a whole lot. Holly was on the front page of the paper today. I think the entire paper, by the way. Got two or three questions for you. What's your relationship with Geno?
Geno and I've had an ongoing rivalry, so to speak. I really like Geno because he put me in his book about how he felt about me, but we really get along fine now. That was years past and a lot of water under the bridge. He's done an outstanding job at Connecticut. And I have nothing but respect for his basketball knowledge and what he's been able to do there, and what he's done with his program in a very difficult place, by the way. But kudos to Geno.
Yeah, would you agree with me, Coach, that he's the best women's basketball coach of all time?
No. Pat Summitt was the best was and the best basketball coach of all time in women's basketball, and still holds that place for me anyway.
Well, what's Coach Summitt's record against Geno in the national championship game, Coach Brown?
That is a great question. I cannot tell you that right off the top of my head.
I can help you. It's 0-4.
In the championship game.
Yeah, and she's got a losing record against him overall also.
Well, all I know is in 95, lost to Connecticut in the championship game. And then in 96, we won the national championship game by beating Connecticut in the semifinals and beat Georgia in the finals. They weren't in the 97 national championship Final Four. Nor were they in 98, meaning Connecticut. So I'm sure your number is accurate. I wouldn't argue with that. But the Lady Vols had some success against Connecticut, both at Stores, at Connecticut, and here in Volunteer Land.
And the year after, Tennessee had run the table and been perfect. They struggled the next year, and then it was an undefeated Connecticut team that the Lady Vols beat in Iowa. That it was in the regional final.
Yes, in the regional final. That was in '97, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, to go. Yes, because we went to Cincinnati from there. That's why they weren't. That's why Connecticut wasn't in the Final Four.
But we do appreciate the call, Jim. We'll get a break and be back with more. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Al Brown. You have a question or comment for Coach, 656-9900, 656-9900. Here are the ins and outs on the all-time series between the Lady Vols and Connecticut. 22 meetings, 13 victories for the Huskies, 9 for the Lady Vols. 5-2 is Connecticut's record against Tennessee in the tournament, and 4-0 in the title game. But the Lady Vols did eliminate the Huskies twice in tournament play, and each time they met with the title on the line, the Huskies did win the game. As far as the last three meetings, which there's one that will be here before you know it, the last three meetings in this series have all been won by Tennessee, as the Lady Vols were victorious in 05, 06, and 07, and they are set to meet January 23rd, so it'll be next week that they meet for the first time in 13 years.
Yes, next Thursday in stores, the Lady Volunteers travel north to play in a game which I feel was poorly scheduled, because it's right in the middle of the conference season, and you play on Monday night. Tennessee has to play on Monday night against Alabama, then travel to Connecticut to play the Huskies, and then come back home and get ready for LSU in the conference on Sunday. So it's a very, very tough week of basketball for the Lady Volunteers.
As far as streaks in the series, the Lady Vols have had 2 3-game winning streaks against Connecticut. Connecticut won the first three in the rivalry, and then at one point between January 5th, 2002 and April 6, 2004, the Huskies ran off 6 straight wins. But that's the lowdown on the history between Tennessee and Connecticut.
Well, it's interesting to cover that, John, because it is coming up next week, and a visit of the series that started back years ago, back in 95, 96, I believe, John. Do you have that? Was it 96 was the first?
It was January 16th, 1995. Connecticut 95. Won in stores, 77-66, and okay. Won the title game in Minneapolis that year, 70-64.
Okay. Yes. And so it's been great. Coach Summitt started because she cared about women's basketball, and she wanted to promote it everywhere throughout the country. She played coast to coast, played anybody, anywhere, anytime, wasn't afraid of that kind of competition. So kudos to Coach Summitt for a lot of reasons, but one, certainly Connecticut owes a lot of the success they've had to the fact that Coach Summitt made women's basketball a factor in the sports world in this country.
Baylor posted a win against Connecticut last week, and then you also saw the top three in the women's game all lose. So in one poll, South Carolina climbed to the top spot. In the other poll, Baylor climbed to the top spot, and each was the number two team in the ranking that they weren't number one.
Yes, there's another situation, John. The best conference in women's basketball just a week ago was the Pac-12, where you had Arizona undefeated, UCLA undefeated, Stanford with one loss. You had Oregon with one loss, and Oregon State undefeated. Then the Oregon schools go to Arizona State and both lose. for some reason. And then they were able to turn it around against Arizona. So then Arizona now has three losses. Then the only undefeated team in the Pac-12 in women's basketball is UCLA. The others have all suffered losses. And so it's very, very interesting in both the men's and women's side of basketball because of the constant, so to speak, upsets. And as you suggest, Baylor now, Cox is a great player for them. She was hurt early in the season. She's back now. They handled Connecticut easily because of the size. I mean, they have Baylor has great size. And in fact, if you look at the Baylor's men's program and the Baylor women's program, they both are on the brink of being first in the polls anyway. And South Carolina is having a great year. The only loss they've had was to Indiana, which was somewhat of an upset. That was a long time ago. I'm talking about South Carolina now. And they're number one in the league, and number one certainly in some in one poll, as you suggest.
We'll get a break. We've got more with Coach coming up. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. His appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, serving Knoxville, Lenore City, Maryville, Athens, and coming soon to Hardin Valley. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. Our guest, Al Brown. Vince Ferrara pinch-hitting for Jimmy Hyams. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Coach's appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair.
Coach Brown, you're talking about the Lady Vols. You're talking about women's basketball. We mentioned this nice little run that the Lady Vols are on. I mean, holding Ole Miss to 28 points, and then the win at home over Georgia held Georgia to 56, and then the win last night at Florida, holding Florida to 50 points and winning in dominant fashion on the road. What's the most impressive few things that you've seen from the Lady Vols here in this stretch of wins?
Well, the first thing, Vince, is their ability to play defense. They have worked really hard at the defensive end. Tamari Key in the middle is quite a force. In fact, I think I heard today, and I didn't look this up, it comes from WNML, Pons and Key have the same number of block shots going into last night's game, where, of course, Key moved ahead by a slight margin. She has been a real force in the middle. The size that Tennessee has with her and Kishkidawa off the bench, and Brown, for that matter, as a power forward, is certainly okay. So this would be one thing. The other thing is they're playing up tempo. They're playing at a good speed. They're capitalizing on the transition scores, and this is very helpful. They have a good inside outside game. Now they're 3 points. Scoring, I won't say shooting, because you can shoot the ball a lot, and scoring and 3 points is the key, has been somewhat inconsistent. But if you look at their overall conference number, it's certainly in the 40% area, which is credible. And their overall shooting is in the near 50%. So they're playing at a high level on both ends of the floor, and their rebounding has been dominant all year, Vince. They are one of the best rebounding teams in the country.
What can you say about Kelly Harper's coaching? Do you see her imprints on this team the way they're performing?
Well, I think there's no question about it, Vince. She's done a nice job of making the transition from last year to this year. And it takes a while for a team, a veteran team, and there are certainly veterans on this team, to adjust to a new system, to a new thought process. It doesn't happen overnight. Now, they've had a foreign trip to work through that. They've also had, at least to this point in the season, almost the halfway point, they've been able to adjust quite nicely to Coach and her staff's new approach. But she has an interesting way with people, and they have a good feel for her, and they care about her, which is really an important part.
Again, question or comment for Coach, 656-9900, 656-9900. When you look at what they've been able to do, especially on the road, they let an opportunity slip away at Kentucky, where turnovers really cost them. Yesterday, they fell behind. It was just 6-4, so it was very, very overcomable for the fantastic fracture of the language. But when you see what they've been able to do, what do you think that her and her staff, Coach Harper and her staff, have done in just one, getting these players in a better position to win, as well as just giving them this this level of confidence to build off of?
Well, John, I think that's the key point. This team now has a level of confidence that they can win both at home and on the road. They believe in what the coaching staff is presenting to them, and they're working very hard to be as good as they can be. The telltale sign for this team will be how will they finish next week with the incredibly tough schedule. Again, playing Alabama on a Monday, a team that handled the Lady Vols last year very easily with 8 veterans back. Then moving to Connecticut against a team that Connecticut's only lost 1 game, and playing there is a tough outing. And then coming home to play against LSU, a team that zones a lot, and playing them on Sunday, and then getting ready for February. Once they have Vanderbilt out of the way, then they get to this February schedule where they have to play the top teams in the league. They have to play South Carolina. They have to play Mississippi State. They have to play Arkansas. So it's a very difficult February, but I think what you'll see then is everything that they have learned, meaning the Lady Vols to this point, come to fruition, and they will have some success against the upper echelon teams in the league.
Just looking at the Lady Vols stats this year, typically teams from half to half or even in quarters, you'd have a variance in points scored and points allowed. Here's a Lady Vols scoring this season by quarter. First quarter, 321 points. Second quarter, 321 points. Third quarter, 323 points. Fourth quarter, 317 points. That's consistency. There's no up and down there.
Absolutely, and that's over the course of the season. And if you look at their the points in the conference, Vince, mm-hmm. you've got the same numbers. You've got 91 points in the first quarter, 97 in the second, 87 in the third, and 113 in that very important fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So you make an excellent point there that they've been consistent all year. And they've carried that on in the conference over their 5 games that they've played.
Let's get a call from Charlie. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, I just wanted to, Coach Brown, you're smart, excellent, and I love you to death. I'm just making a comment about the guy calling about Geno earlier. I just don't understand. Pat started it. She had to play Old Dominion. Old Dominion used to be the top school, and we, you know, we played them and beat them. Pat Summitt is the queen of basketball and always will be in my mind.
Charlie, there's no question about it. You can talk about records and everything else. The reason women's basketball, both at the professional level and the collegiate level today, is where it is because of Pat Summitt's influence.
And I agree totally.
And so, yes, there are other good coaches. There have been, and there are. But her willingness to play someone like you suggest, Old Dominion when they were in their heyday, Louisiana Tech when they were at their peak, and then Connecticut for that matter, and any other team, Texas, Stanford, you name the team in the country that Coach Summitt went against, and when they were very, very good, you can't find anyone that's done it any better.
Yeah, the women of Troy, Southern Cal.
Southern Cal, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And Mary Ann Stanley, who was the coach at that time, is now the coach of the Indiana WNBA team.
But, Charlie, we do appreciate the call. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to this hour of Sports Talk. We've got more with Coach Brown, and we'll get a look at his top fives next as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to this hour of Sports Talk. Final segment with Coach Al Brown. His appearance brought to you by our friends at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Coach, your top fives.
Top five in the men's game, and we'll start with number five, and I have no idea about this, Vince, and I just don't know who to put on that top five list. But anyway, I've got Auburn at five. At 15-1, Baylor, who's number two in the polls, I guess, at 14-1, and Duke still in there, even though they lost to Clemson and Stephen F. Austin at 15-2, and then I put San Diego State in second place. They're 18-0. They're only undefeated team in Division I basketball, and then Gonzaga at 19-1, and Gonzaga's only loss was Michigan when Michigan was playing extremely well. They're not going to lose another game, I don't think, during the regular season. And that takes care of the men's game. And the women's side, Oregon drops in my poll from the top spot to fifth. They're 14-2. UCLA 16-0 in fourth. Third is Louisville at 17-1. Baylor in the women's side, number two at 14-1, and South Carolina 17-1, number one on the women's side, and that takes care of both the men and the women's, my top fives.
When you take a quick look at Tennessee, which was able to get their big man eligible, what did you think of Uroš Plaušić, his debut? And when you see an opportunity to get help in an area of need, what do you think the timeline is in terms of making sure that he's comfortable? And because we know that Rick Barnes isn't going to play somebody who they don't feel is ready to go out and execute what they want to do offensively and defensively. But with him making his debut at Georgia, what did you think of his performance, as well as what do you think his potential could be?
Well, I thought his performance at Georgia, for having not played for almost forever, was credible. He takes up space in the lane. He gives you an extra post that you can bring in. Anytime you're 7 feet and active, and he is, you become a force in that lane. To use the common phrase today, he's protecting the rim. I didn't know that rims needed protection, but he's protecting the rim and the lane. He's doing a nice job there. He will get nothing but better as the season progresses. Vescovi has to fit in again, and he will get better as the season progresses. I think if this Tennessee Volunteer men's team can hang in there through the course of a few games in this conference season, as these guys, John, become more comfortable, I think this team has a chance to be a surprise team at the end of the year.
How do you see the matchup against Vanderbilt as Tennessee plays on the road again Saturday night, tomorrow night? And what do you think the matchup will be like Monday when Tennessee tries to break a 5-game losing streak to Alabama?
Well, first of all, the men going to Vanderbilt. Last year, Vanderbilt didn't win a game in a conference. I think they could equal that this year. Stackhouse has got his hands full. Neesmith, who was the leading scorer in a conference, and Vanderbilt's leading scorer is out for the year. And so they've only played six players, and I think they're really going to struggle. Vanderbilt, that is. It's a chance for Tennessee to, again, get another key win in this conference race. So that takes care of the men. On the women's side, as you suggest, Alabama's won five straight. They bring in eight veteran players, three starters from last year's team that really beat the Lady Vols handily, scoring 86 points in that ball game. And it's also an Alabama team that will believe, even though they're 1-3, they will believe that they can beat Tennessee because they've done it before. So it's going to be an interesting Monday, Saturday certainly, and Monday, and two situations where I think both the men and the women can get key wins to help them go down the stretch.
And as far as just a couple of matchups on the men's side, what do you think? Kentucky at Arkansas after its loss at South Carolina when it led by 13 with 11 minutes to go, 11:40 and change. So you have Kentucky playing at Arkansas, and you have Auburn trying to bounce back from its first loss. It goes to Florida.
Wow, those are two great games and key games. Arkansas, Musselman can coach. I've said that all along. Mm-hmm. I stick by it. He will have the Razorbacks ready to go. Calipari is a great coach. He will have the Wildcats ready to go. I think that's a toss-up game. Now, it is at Arkansas, so it's going to be a tough out for Kentucky if they can get a win. But either one of those two teams win there, they have a leg up on the rest of the field. And then Auburn, and Florida. Florida was the preseason favorite of everybody's, nationally as well as in the league, and they haven't lived up to that expectation, although they're still alive in the conference, and it's a big win for them. And can Auburn sustain after this loss? We'll wait and see. Auburn has a lot of obviously a lot of players that I'm sure have won and had success. So, I mean, I think both games are toss-ups, John.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Coach, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's Al Brown. His appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, serving Knoxville, Lenore City, Maryville, Athens, and coming soon to Hardin Valley. We'll get a break. Hour number four of Sports Talk is coming up. We'll get a practice report from Eric Kane. We'll bring you comments from Kelly Harper as well as Rick Barnes. And up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.